how to live amongst opulence or wealth, because you're born in a wealthy family, how to live amongst wealth and not become attached to it. The best example is given in Brihad Bhagavatamritam by Sanatana Goswami. He's describing the different levels of devotees, the hierarchy of devotees, from Prahlad to Hanuman, from Hanuman to the Pandavas, Pandavas to the Yadavas, Yadavas to Uddhava, Uddhava to the Vrijavasis, the friends, the parents, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, the Vrajagopis, and finally the Srimati Radharani as the highest exemplar of pure devotion. It's described that the Pandavas, when they lived at Hastinapur, they had more opulence than the Swargaloka, than the demigods. But their opulence was free from all defects. What are the inborn defects of wealth or opulence? There's a defect of envy, hatred, and impermanence. But their opulence of the Pandavas didn't have any of these defects because it was all awarded to them by the mercy of Krishna. And all the relationships, the five Pandavas and their mother Kunti and their wife Draupadi, and all their different relationships, they were very good because the Pandavas are nice devotees. They're always hearing and chanting about Krishna's pastimes and directly associating with Krishna. So their opulence was actually greater than heaven, because this type of opulence is not even available in Swarga. So why were the Pandavas, it's described that they were never attached to or attracted to the opulence that they were surrounded by? Because the Pandavas never thought that all this fabulous wealth and power and influence and opulence was for them. They always thought that this is only for Krishna. Whereas this is very difficult. How can you have all kinds of material comforts and amenities and use it, and then while you're using it, you don't enjoy it without thinking of Krishna? How is it possible? Because our mind, we only have one mind, and it's attached to one sense object. There's one line there. There's the mind, there's the sense object, the sense of identity, then the Atma. When all these are in one line and working together and cooperating together, then we can actually have some knowledge of the particular sense object. And there can be the transfer of knowledge or some feeling generated from interacting with that sense object or that opulence. When all that's going on, then we automatically have to forget about God, as we're so busy, absorbed in the object, perceiving it, feeling it, thinking about it, smelling it, touching it. So how is it that the Pandavas, Yudhisthira, Bhim, Arjuna, Nakul, Sahadev, Draupadi, they had all this opulence, eating wonderful foods and dressing nicely, and they're always being glorified and worshipped and honored and served, how it did not go make them proud or go to their head, sleeping in a nice bed, servants fanning them? How did all that, they have all that opulence and surrounded by all that opulence, but had no effect on them? Why is it described that they never forgot Krishna? Sanatana Goswami explains how in Vaidhi Bhakti, devotees can do all types of austerities to control the senses, yet they can't control the mind. The Pandavas, their minds were perfectly controlled, even though they were living amidst luxury and wealth and power and riches much greater than the demigods. This means that when one is a pure devotee, his mind and senses are naturally not attached. attached to sense objects. When we develop attachment to Krishna, then the senses can affect us. If we simply study the mind of a materialist, a total materialist, and how he's completely attached to sense enjoyment, and then we can transfer that to what a devotee is. The materialist, their love is for sense enjoyment and sense gratification. And their love for sense gratification never changes or disappears. There's no beginning. Their loving attraction for sense enjoyment of the conditioned soul goes on and on, life after life. The more we perform or engage in material activities, sense enjoyment, wealth, opulence, etc., the more we become attached to it. When we have attachment or love for something, then we won't see any defects in it. We'll think it's very nice, we'll think it's very wonderful. If a man likes a woman, like a brahmachari is getting married, then he'll think, oh, this girl is special. She's different from others. She's a good devotee. Then after they get married, then he realizes, oh, the only difference between my wife and a non-devotee is my wife wears a sari and a karmi girl wears a t-shirt and Levi's or jeans. But when we're absorbed in nunam pramatta kurdevi karma yirindriya priti aprinoti vishay priti, we become mad. We can't actually see it. We have love. We love our material body. So many problems are there. But because we're attached, because of attachment, we can't think that our body is not good. We perform all our activities for the body. But actually our body is a house of misery. Ye shariram dukha mandiram. In Hindi they say, ye shariram dukha mandiram. It's a temple of suffering. Krishna says the same thing, dukhalayam ashashvatam. Dukhalayam, and we say vidyalaya. It's a house of miseries, and ashashvatam is temporary. We have love in this body, and we have attachment for the sense objects. So because of that, we can never be attracted to God. Bhogaishvarya prasaktam dayaparta chetasam, Krishna says in Gita. But the reverse is there. Now we're attached to the body, sense objects, sense gratification, opulence, wealth, pleasures. When we transfer all that attachment to attachment and attraction to Krishna as service, and it's actually real attraction, then all the attractions in the material world cannot disturb the mind. This is the platform of attachment or rag. The Pandavas have so much attachment for Krishna. So no matter how many sense objects they have or how much opulence they're surrounded by, it cannot distract their mind. If living entities attached to sense objects, then bhakti can never attract his mind. Only by getting the mercy of the Lord or his devotees, then one can develop attraction for Krishna by surrendering. In Vaikuntha, like the Pandavas, there's unlimited opulence, but no one has an enjoying mood there. No one is enjoying independent of Krishna. This is an amazing point. Because the Pandavas, their hearts were burning in Krishna prema. It's like, imagine if you were in a house that's burning and then someone runs into your burning house with a plate of nice food. How much can you relish it? Or a man dying of hunger, if you offer him a fragrant flower garland or a nice dress, beautiful clothes, it will not really please him. The only thing that will satisfy him is food. Man is dying of hunger, he's not interested in anything else. All attention is focused there. Similarly, the heart of the Pandavas was burning with Krishna prema. So no matter what objects were in front of them, they had no attraction. Another example, if a man is coming home from work and he's caught in a traffic jam and he comes home late, although when he gets home his affectionate, loving wife may greet him with a nice fragrant flower garland and fan him and offer him some sandalwood paste. But actually, the only object in his mind, his heart is fixed on one thing, on food. Where's the dinner? So the Pandava's heart was always, the Pandavas, their hearts are always thinking of Krishna. Though they have all this opulence, they can't really enjoy it. Why? Because by their enjoying internally burning so much, there's no interest in anything outside. They just want to hear about Krishna and be with Krishna. At least we have Vaidhi Sadhana. There's so many rules and regulations. These are to control the wayward mind and of the conditioned souls. Because we're fallen, we have a tendency to do wrong. Manda Samana Matya. As one advances in devotion and loving attachment to Krishna and develops his rag, then although he'll automatically follow rules because devotion is there, he has no more tendency to act wrong. He's already acting purely, transparently, without any ulterior motive. He's simply acting for the pleasure of Krishna. If we understand Krishna and his activities with devotion and chant his name with love, that makes us victorious. Lord Chaitanya told us, this is the path of victory. This is the supreme victory, Brahm Vijayate. It's a practical science. We can experience it here. If we just chant Krishna's holy name and remember him with love and with feelings, automatically we'll become purified and we'll stop all kinds of sinful, wrong behavior, become detached from all material things, become peaceful. All other processes of karma and gyan, sankhya marg, they're not victorious. One will get entangled by these paths. So this is the teaching of the Pandavas, that their minds were so fixed on Krishna that they're never attracted to any sense objects, no matter how opulent or grand they were. Krishna says, Ichadvesha smutvena. He says that every living entity comes in this world with rag and dvesh. Attachment, rag and dvesh, hatred or envy. It's inside of us. This is a defect, inborn defect within us. Desire to enjoy. As soon as we turn our face towards Krishna, Krishna Mukh, to serve him, then we turn automatically our back is to Maya. Part of the idea of beginning a dosha, tata, sarasanga, the beginning there's faith. Faith means firm resolve, strong determination that I don't want to be here in material consciousness. I don't want to rot in this material world. All the unlimited defects which are found in sense objects are automatically burned in the fire of love for Krishna. As soon as the Pandavas would contact any sense object, the fire of their love for Krishna would transform it, so they wouldn't become attached to it. That's why when Krishna left this world, the Pandavas just walked out, went to the Himalayas. Even if the devotee is offered any kind of liberation, he rejects it, even if Krishna himself offers it. So why did the Pandavas live such an opulent life? They only accepted all the opulence for the service of Krishna. When devotees actually have love in their hearts, praying for Krishna, when they feel separation from Krishna, that separation is burning their hearts, viraha agni. If we really love someone, we lose our association. We'll feel so much pain and so much unhappiness and such a mood that we won't want to eat or enjoy anything. When the Pandavas were directly with Krishna, then they can enjoy opulence because the fire separation is out because they're with Krishna. No, their fire is still burning because when they're associating directly with Krishna, they're getting a chance to be with him and love him and receive his love and offer their love to him, their hearts are also burning with separation. Just like the gopis, the same mood. They're fearing, oh, he's going to go soon. He'll return. He'll leave Hastinapur and go back to Dwarka. He's been here for 1 month. They think in the, they're always thinking the future, and that separation. So their heart is still burning. So whether they're in separation or union with the Lord, heart is always burning with love. So they can't. So all the sense objects cannot attract them independently. Like Kunti, liberation, money, position, power, beautiful women. Nothing is attractive because the mind is fixed on Krishna. So separation has value, has a purpose. The Nimbarkis, they say Nityanikunja Bhav, eternal union. Radha and Krishna are always having eternal union in the kunjas. They can't entertain the concept of viraha or separation, only union. Without separation, there's no enjoyment in union. Every day, Krishna goes, the Gaudiyas, we say every day Krishna goes to the forest, he comes back. The Pandavas' glories, although externally they seem like materialistic people, but internally they are greatly devoted to Lord Sri Krishna. There's so much wealth and opulence, but the opulence never deviated their mind to sense enjoyment. Why is this? There's two reasons for this. The Pandavas offered everything to Krishna. This process is presented in Bhagavad Gita, but Srimad Bhagavatam rejects it. Bhagavad Gita is more concerned with externals of religion, and the Bhagavatam describes the internal process, bhav. The Bhagavatam says, Dharma prachita kaita vacha, kick out cheating processes or propensities. It means the living entity wants to keep his independence and at the same time enjoy material enjoyment or spiritual enjoyment. Some people want enjoyment here in the material world. Others want enjoyment in the spiritual world. Some follow rules and regulations, but they want enjoyment. Some don't follow any rules and regulations, and they enjoy, but then they're punished. And then beyond that, some want to go to the spiritual world and enjoy there. But these are all three of these classes are rejected. The first choice of offering everything to Krishna and using it is not the real process. It's not the real reason why opulence was not attractive to the Pandavas. The individual independence remains. The heart of the Pandavas, because they're pure devotees, they're always in love and burning with love for Krishna, Krishna Prema. Devotees, just like a hungry man, all he wants is food, nothing else. And devotees are hungry for Krishna's love. They only want to please Krishna, and they feel happy by that. Bhakti is the highest expression and form of yoga. The bhakti yogi gets the supreme anand or pleasure from serving the Lord. Nothing else really can satisfy the living entity, because the constitutional position of the living entity is to serve Krishna. When Uddhava came to Braj and met the gopis, he gave them instructions. He taught them Gyan, and he said they should try to see Krishna everywhere. And the gopis, they couldn't understand his high talks, his philosophy, his Gyan. They replied to him, they said, you talk about controlling our minds, but we don't have any minds to control. Our minds have already left and gone with Krishna. So what do we have to control? When Uddhava heard their reply, he became dumbfounded. Because the yogis, they meditate, and the jnanis renounce everything and many activities just to fix their mind on the Paramatma or Brahman. And the Brajagopis were praying to get their minds back, and they were cursing Krishna to give back their minds. So bhakti, this Braja Bhakti is very extraordinary, very rare. Even the greatest jnanis, like greatest jnanis, demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they get bewildered when they see the Braja Bhakti. The Panavas are burning inside their heart, always thinking of Krishna in separation or union. They were completely attentive and fixed on their object of love. They never even think of sense gratification. When they're with Krishna, they're worried that they may lose his association. He may return to Dwarka and leave them. And when they're not with Krishna, when Krishna's in Dwarka or somewhere else, then they're always thinking, when will he come again? When will they see him? So either way, they're in bliss. Supreme Ananda, the topmost limit of spiritual bliss. It means always burns like a fire. Love is like this. It creates heat in the body. When one is attracted to something, he doesn't need any practice or any kind of control to fix his mind on something. The Pandavas are naturally attracted to Krishna. Their minds are always fixed on him. So Yudhisthira and the Pandavas, although they were surrounded by unlimited opulence and worship, women and fame and power, yet they were still pure devotees. So what is opulence? What does it mean to be wealthy and opulent as a human being? It means to relate with each other with love, free from envy. The Pandavas had loving relationships even with each other, with the Supreme Lord and with Kunti and with Draupadi. They never fought, even though there were five husbands and one wife, five sons and one mother. They were perfectional devotees. Lord Chaitanya taught to honor everyone, amanina manidena, which means to be free from envy. They can only be free from envy by becoming a devotee of Krishna. All the non-devotees in this world, they're full of envy. Raga and dvesh, attachment and envy, love and hate. They would offer all their opulence first to Krishna. Therefore, sense objects didn't cause any trouble. Yudhisthira was only attached to serving and associating and pleasing Krishna. But the problem is not the sense objects or not the opulence, but the trouble and problem lies within ourselves, the desire, our tendency to enjoy independent of Krishna. This becomes the cause of our bondage to this material world. This repetition of birth and death. We become implicated in our own actions, which always end in suffering. Because this is a fact that's built into the material world. No material object, no material person, no material thing or place can ever give lasting or permanent happiness. Even if a sense object gives some temporary happiness, it is always mixed with misery. There's no such thing as plain and pure happiness from sense objects. There is no sense object in the material world which gives only happiness. There's two sides to the coin. Happiness and distress. Either you take enough of it or you take more, it will give trouble. You take it the wrong time, you take it in the wrong way. The activity always ends in experiencing misery. But when you offer everything to the Lord, everything becomes blissful. Even poison turns into nectar. Prahlad Maharaj was offered poison by his father to kill him, but he offered it to Vishnu and it became nectar. The problem comes from our sankalpa, our wish, our decision or our will, our determination, our fixity of purpose, If one has a sankalpa, or desire, or resolution to enjoy, then he has to suffer. This is the law of the material world, duality, pleasure and pain in the material world. We can't avoid it. If you want to enjoy, we must meet with suffering. If not today, it will come tomorrow or in the future. In the material world, everyone has a sankalpa. The main sankalpa is to enjoy. Then the problems come. The devotees of Krishna, they replace sankalpa with anukul. They don't do anything for personal sense gratification. They do everything for the pleasure of Krishna. Generally, opulence and sense gratification is thought to be pratikul, or against pure bhakti. By engaging everything in Krishna's seva, that removes the defects of material objects. Poison becomes nectar. Yuktavairagya yuchate. Nirbande Krishna sambande yuktavairagya yuchate. All sense objects are useful in the seva of Krishna. The same thing which causes trouble becomes a cause of spiritual advancement if used in Krishna's seva. All diseases of this material body come from imbalance of food and water. Yet the same food and water can be cause of cure. Let food be our medicine. Everyone in the material world is troubled by sense objects because they're using them in the improper way. If we learn how to properly use sense objects, then they can help us advance in bhakti and get out of the material world. Our bondage to birth and death, samsara, is caused by our desire to enjoy independently of Krishna. As soon as we change our concept, we will become free, liberated, even while living in this material body. Iha yasya hairdasya karmana manasagira jivan mukta sayuchate. We can become liberated in this very life without even dying. The same defective, entangling, problematic, misery-producing sense objects can actually take on good qualities and become our friends, like a snake with broken fangs. No more poison. Yudhisthira would offer everything first to Krishna, and then accept the remnants as Krishna prasad. Everything we own, everything we have, all of our possessions, even our own body, actually comes from God, and it belongs to Him. Manmana bhavamad bhakto. Krishna says we should think of this, we should remember this, think of Him. And then offer everything back to God. Then we'll face no problem with the material senses and material sense objects, or anything or anyone in the material world. Accept everything as Krishna's prasad, and that will remain pure and free from entanglement. The problem comes as we're not acknowledging that everything is for the Lord. We foolishly think that I've created all these things by my own endeavor. Therefore, I have a right to enjoy them. Maharaj Yudhisthira had unlimited opulence. Yet he was not attached. He did not have any love for material objects, because his attachment and his love was for Krishna. His mind was never disturbed by sense objects, because it was always fixed on Krishna. If one follows the path of yoga or jnana, he tries to use his own independent power to control the mind and senses. But in bhakti, we have love for Krishna, then automatically we can control our senses. We may externally renounce something, but internally the taste or rasa for sense objects remains. Krishna tells us, rasa vajra masopya se pramjaswa nivartate. Unless we experience superior rasa, we can't get free from the desire for lower rasa. Bhakti Ras. Bhagavatam teaches how to become attached to Krishna, then automatically sense objects will disappear. A living entity is active. Prabhupada always said he's active by nature. He can't not act for a minute. No matter how much we try to control the senses, you can never know when the mind will drag the senses away. If the sense object is powerful enough, even great yogis and jnanis will lose all their discrimination, detachment, all their vivek and vairagya. On the path of rag bhakti, devotee gets a rasa or taste, a natural liking for serving the Lord. This is the superior taste, the param jasva nivartate. It's a much the taste of for serving Krishna is much superior to the taste of sense objects. For example, one may follow Nirjal Ekadasi, but still he has a taste or desire to drink water. The solution is the mercy of Guru. When Krishna is telling Gita to always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your obeisances unto me. In the Bhagavatam, it says that everything can be accomplished by the mercy of Guru, by remembering Guru. So we can think of this verse, always think of Guru, worship Guru, bow to Guru. Krishna actually appears before us as Guru, Acharyamam Vijaniyam. Because in the beginning, as a conditioned soul, we can't actually see Krishna. We can't be chastised by Krishna. Our crazy pagamana, our crazy minds, are always thinking of sense objects. The mind can't remain for a second without some object, some vishayi. If the mind's not fixed on Krishna, it will run in 1,000 directions. The mind's not fixed on a material object. It's always changing. Because the mind has an unlimited capacity for thinking, feeling, and willing. But material objects are limited and temporary. The mind always demands more and more, more and more variety. Vyavasayatmika buddhi, there's so many branches and so many avenues and so many interests of the mind that are constantly changing. The mind is, it's always running to sense objects, pushed by rag and rati, attraction and attachment. The yogis and jnanis try to make the mind nirvishai, free from sense objects, by reducing the objects from many objects to a small object. And they narrow it down, close their eyes halfway, look at the tip of their nose, and it's only one object to see, the tip of the nose. And gradually, they meditate on the light. And bhakti yogis, devotees fix his mind on one object, Krishna's lotus feet. When he awakens a natural rag and attachment for Krishna, then his mind can't deviate from the Lord. This is how we measure the advancement of a devotee, is how much his mind is attached to the Lord. And the Pandavas are great examples of wealthy, influential, powerful people whose minds were always attached to the Lord, and in this way they became free from all sense gratification, because they saw everything as belonging to Krishna, and engaged everything in Krishna's service, and they're always burning in love. Their hearts are always burning. The desire to see Krishna and be with Krishna, remember Krishna. And when they're with Krishna, they're afraid of losing Krishna. And when they're not with Krishna, they're eager and anxious to meet him again. So for them, they were always thinking of Krishna, always worshipping him, and always bowing down to him, and always devoted to him. And all the opulence and power and position that was in their hand, they're only utilizing to give pleasure to the Supreme Lord. That was their happiness in life, their meaning in life, and their goal in life. That is why they're recognized as such grand and glorious pure devotees of the Lord. Panch Pandavas ki jai.